And it's just a thrill to be in church this morning. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing in our church. I'm excited to see each of you here today. And we had a wonderful service at the early one as well. And we thank God for what He's doing. I want to preach a little bit about how to have a happy Thanksgiving. And it's coming this week, of course. And I'm grateful for our country that we've set aside that under President Lincoln. But not only him, but in conjunction with Congress, set that forward. And so thank the Lord for our nation that does that. But us as Christians, we ought to lead the way in Thanksgiving. If you have a Thanksgiving, that means you've got somebody to give thanks to. If you're going to give it, you've got to give it to somebody. It can't just be for yourself to say, oh, I'm just going to be a thankful inside. Well, no, for Thanksgiving, it's got to be given to somebody. And our nation just recognizes that it's given to the Almighty. And so I'm thankful for that. And us Christians, we ought to lead the way. So I want to preach about that for a little while, how to have a happy Thanksgiving. I've been praying for many of you that will be traveling this week and you'll be spending time with some unsaved family, that the Lord would use you to be a great testimony and a witness to them. And a family sometimes the hardest folks to get to share the gospel with. And so to whatever level God allows you, I've been praying that God would give you strength, give you His power as you go. And then those that have families that are all believers, then we're praying for great fellowship and trusting the Lord use you in that way as well. But we're looking at Psalm 100. If you find your place there in Psalm 100, we'll read the whole psalm. It's not that long. As you find your place in Psalm 100, I did hear the story about this old lady that was arrested for shoplifting. She's at a grocery store. She really had plenty of money. It wasn't like she needed it, but she didn't have cash that day. And so she thought, well, what could I get that wouldn't be that expensive? She just found a can of peaches, had the pull top. She didn't need to have an opener or anything. She went out the car and got those. Well, she finally got found out by the police officers, and she got arrested, and then eventually standing before a judge. The judge could tell that she wasn't somebody who would typically do that, and she was being questioned by him, and the judge said, well, she said, why did you do that? She said, well, I was hungry. I forgot my cash. I didn't money. I just needed to do it. And he said, okay. And he said, well, how many peaches were in that can that you bought, that you stole? And she said, well, they were halves. And she said, so there's about 9 halves in that can. He says, well, I've got to teach you a lesson. I'm going to give you 9 days in jail, one day for each of those peaches that were in that can that you stole. I've got to send a message. And he was about ready to bring the gavel down. There was a little guy behind her at the bench, and he raised his hand up, and he said, sir, are you with her? Yes. Are you her husband? Yes. And he says, do you have something to add? He said, yes. He said, she also stole a can of peas. So be careful who you go to court with, I guess. So we're looking at Psalm 100. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is good. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Verse number 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. If you look back at verse number 4, I'd like for us to read that one together, if we would. You ready? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Father, be with us now is our prayer, and we'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll preach possibly the most simple message I've preached for a Sunday morning, but I realize that when you hear it, you'll say, well, that wasn't very profound or wasn't very deep, but I just could not get away from our thoughts about us having a happy Thanksgiving, because there's so much that you've got going on right in your life that we ought to be thankful for. Heard an interview conducted of 3 Vietnam POWs. They were fresh. They were interviewed as they were getting released, and they were going to go to their respective homes. And they were asked by the interviewer, in all the ordeal that you've been through, what are you looking forward to most when you get back to normal, so to speak? It was astounding what they said. The first POW said, I haven't had enough food for years because I've been a POW. Says, I want to eat until I'm full. I just want to be able to eat, not worry about, is there going to be enough? What can I do after this meal? I just would love to eat till I'm full. The next one, as they interviewed him, he said, you would not believe the filthy conditions that we lived in. He says, I want to go home and I want to just stay in the shower, not worry about how long the hot water lasts. I just want to stay in a warm shower until I feel clean. And the third and final one, they asked, well, what would he want to do. And he said, the mental torture for me was so bad. He says, I just want to go in my home and I want to sit there. Until I decide to leave, I just want to be at home. The three things that they said that they longed for the most were the three things that most of us enjoyed again and again this week. And I would submit to you that when we say what we would do, what we wish we could do, sometimes people say that, well, if I come into a ton of money, I'm going to do this. And we start thinking about all these things that I would be thankful for if only I had them. Here's men that were the heroes that were tortured and beat and taken advantage of. And it's amazing that these heroes wanted nothing more than the things, the simple things of life that we all enjoyed. As I prepared this message, I was clean, I was full, and I stayed at my home. And I think about how it would turn if some of the things were taken away from me, how I might be thankful for those things that I'd never thought about on a normal basis. I want to preach to you for a little while from verse number 4 predominantly and just talk about these three words. If you want to write them down, I'm going to preach about enter, stay, and change. Enter, stay, and change. In verse number 4, the Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I'm told that the word of where thankfulness we get has its origins in the same spot as the word think, meaning that we're pondering, thinking, musing on something, and then that's how we become thankful for it. So you could say that we should be full of thankfulness, but we should also could say we should be full of thankfulness. Meaning that we stay in there. And there's a reason why that hymn writer wrote, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Read a story of a farmer. He was talking to a minister, and this farmer told the minister that his son was killed in Vietnam as well, and he wanted to give $200 to some agenda that the church had had for that particular season. And somebody was listening in on that and heard the conversation between the farmer and the pastor. He went home and told his wife the story and then said, I want to give $500 to the church for that project that they're on. And she said, honey, but our son came home safe without a scratch. And he said these words. He says, if that farmer is going to donate and give for his son that didn't make it home, how much more should we be thankful for our son that did? And I'm coming to this place in this Thanksgiving season where we've got to come and sit our feet under the table of God's goodness, and we ought to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And that's why I gave you that first word, to enter. It's a conscious decision that we come and we enter into what God is doing. And this is an act that needs to take place in our life where we need to decide that I'm going to come to where God is. I'm going to enter in to his gates. I'm going to come through these gates and I'm going to have thanksgiving on my heart. I'm going to come and I'm going to think about the things that God has wonderfully given me. Sometimes people will come to me and say, Pastor, I don't know how I could pray for a half hour, or how I could pray for an hour, or how I could have an all-night prayer meeting. Can I tell you what happens with me when you do pray? Oftentimes the words that are there are none, because sometimes you're just sitting in the goodness of God and you're rehearsing how much the Lord has done for you. And you may spend a prolonged period of time there just in your mind entering into his gates with thanksgiving. Amen. I'm saying this morning we ought to enter. What is in your life that you haven't given thanks for in the last 7 days? What is it that's going on that you haven't thanked the Almighty for, to say, Lord, I want you to know that that's a blessing to me. I want to give you thanks. As I mentioned, our season of Thanksgiving, we certainly shouldn't let an unsaved person that I work with be more thankful than me, a Christian who knows where all my goodness comes from. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, the Bible says. And so this morning, I'd like to give you that word of enter. But not only that, I'd like for you to go further in that verse. The Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. After you entered the gates of the temple, there were various courts around the main temple that Jewish folks would go, and these courts were used for teaching and preaching and training, and as tens of thousands of people would gather in Jerusalem on these feasts and these special occasions, they would come in to the gates of the temple, and then they would enter into these courts that were around the temple. And I'm drawing from this. If you look back at that verse, it says thanksgiving, and then it says in his courts with praise, and then it gives the command to be thankful unto him. I'm drawing this conclusion that after you enter into those gates, you're going to have to stay there for a while. Take a cruise around the goodness of God. You know, it used to be popular in our nation, not so much anymore, but it used to be popular in our nation for folks just to go on a Sunday drive after they'd come to church and they'd get their lunch, and then they'd go on a beautiful day and just drive around. That's similar to what I'm suggesting that we do, not take a literal drive, but cruise around the goodness of God, that you enter into his gates with thanksgiving and you stay there and you go from court to court and you praise. How many times have we let things go past us and we haven't stopped to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given to me? And I'm afraid that you, like me, will complain about two things when we've got 200 things that we forgot to praise him for. My friend, I'm wanting you to not only enter into his gates with thanksgiving, but I'm asking you to stay there. Have you ever sat with someone when they're going through a tough time? People say, well, I don't know what to say to so-and-so. I would go see him, but I don't know what to say. And I tell them the same thing every time. You don't have to say anything. You've got somebody at the hospital. You've got somebody's having a hard time. You've got somebody's lost a loved one or going through a difficulty in their life. Oftentimes, you can just say, I'm here. Before you leave, tell them, I'm leaving. But just your presence speaks more volumes than you could ever articulate through a whole dictionary full of words. And there's just something about when you stay, because what you're conveying to that person is that I'm here for you. You are giving that assurance. Well, if we could turn that on the reverse and we look at this, as I say that we ought to enter the gates with thanksgiving, but you ought to stay there. I'm saying that you stay around the presence of the Lord for long enough for you to get to the point where you realize that what you've got is all from him. What you've been blessed with, you've been blessed by his blessings. What you've got and that you're thankful for all comes from him. Just as the Jewish men and women were told to come into those courts with praise and thanksgiving, we need to come and stay around the courts of God's goodness with the same. I take you to Woodfin's Funeral Home, which is in Murfreesboro, the largest funeral home there probably. And one of the saddest things I've ever done was perform the service for this little family that buried their four-month-old. Chris and Naomi, the parents, were just distraught, as anybody would be. And the saddest walk I've ever had probably was when we walked that little short little white casket out to the graveyard. And as I came home, I thought, Lord, my children are healthy. I've never had to do that for one of my own. And as the Lord began to work on me, and I stayed and I lingered for a while, I got to be more and more grateful for the good blessings that God has put into my life. Now, I told that sweet little couple what I would tell anybody. I said, you guys got to trust the Lord. And you know where that little one is. He's with him. And you got to put your faith and trust and reliance on him. But what God did on me in the days after that, as I stayed with him for a little while longer, it made me so grateful and so thankful. I've done funerals before where there were people the size of this crowd that had come to observe or to be there as a memorial for the person. I've done other ones where, if you count me and the funeral director and one other person there to close the grave, we outnumber the guests that came to honor the person. I've helped them lower the casket down in the grave before. We've done it all, because sometimes a lot come and sometimes none of them come. But my friend, I'm pointing this out, that if you've got a friend that would be there for you even in death, you ought to be thankful to God for what he has blessed you with. And there's not one person in this room that can't think for a little while and stay in the presence of God for just a little while and you not come up with a lot that you're thankful for. I understand in our world, in our culture, we're very good at saying, well, I want this, and I'm complaining about that, and we march, and we protest, and we say this isn't right, and this isn't right. But what we're not very good at sometimes is just looking back to say, Lord, thank you for, and then filling in the blanks. Enter. But then after you get there, stay. And then the last word that I had you write down is this, change. Because it says at the end of verse number 4, and bless his name. I'm concluding that we ought to enter, and then as we stay for a while, before we leave, we're a changed individual. So what I wanted to do is give you and I a little recipe. When we're not grateful, and we're not in the realm or not in the mindset that we ought to be, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Stay around and in his courts with praise. And then as you leave that process, I believe that you will bless his name. You enter low and you leave high. I know many Christians are afraid to bless the Lord. I know they say, oh, I'm not that outward person. It seems like some people are saving those blessing the Lord's up for a rainy day. Well, it's not outside literally, but my friend, this is a rainy day. And it's time that Christians get on their lips the praise for Almighty God. It's time that we start praising the Lord. The Bible says there's only one group of people that need to praise the Lord, and that's everyone that hath breath. So if we've got breath, we are commanded to be praising the Lord. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've been going through. But my friend, remind yourself that you've got the God of all gods, the Creator, going through it with you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and with all that is within me, bless his holy name. And as you read Psalms, you will find the recurring themes about praising, about praying, about blessing the Lord, about singing to the Lord. And there's a way that that happens. It's not just that some people have more of that in their heart than others. Those people that have it more in their heart, they are the ones, I believe, that have lingered a little while longer. There's an old preacher, he's in heaven now, but he taught a group of people, and I'd overheard the teaching that he was doing to these preachers. And he said, I start every day with a song. And I try to sing that song throughout the day, all the day long. And I thought, well, that's a strange thing. I didn't mind it, but I thought, well, that was a strange thing. But I just told Amy a week or so back, I said, now I know why he did that. We had come through a troubled time. There's just a lot of heavy stuff going on right now with different folks in the hospital and sick and this and this. I told Amy, I said, well, I know why that preacher did that. Because this world is just bringing you down so far, so hard, that that preacher found a secret, if you will, that if he always had a song that he just kept on singing. There's power in the blood, amazing grace. What can wash away my sins? The songs that he would lift up, and that was to keep him pointing toward what God was doing. You know, the Psalms that we're reading, they were the heavenly songbook. They were the Jewish people, their literal songbook that they would sing. And that's why you see some of the repetition in there. And they would sing and they would praise the Lord because of the words that we get to have on this page. But they would use that as their hymn book, their psalm book. But I'm saying that we need to change. Everybody that I know, has times when they get down. And that's when you need to enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's when you need to stay around those courts with praise. Because eventually you're going to have to go live life, right? Nobody can stay there forever. Then you're going to have to be changed and bless his name. J. Vernon McGee, the commentator who's in heaven now for some time, he said, if I could go back and pastor the churches that I've pastored and I could do something different, here's what I'd do. When you hear as a pastor, you hear somebody like that that's had such experience, you want to perk your ears up and say, okay, what would he do? And then he continued writing and he said, I would lead our church, the churches that I'd pastored, I would lead my church to praise the Lord more. And so, since the Bible commands, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, He says to the Lord, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. God wants us to be praising people. We're praising Him. We're worshiping. We worship Him for who He is. We praise Him for what He's done. And today, I believe that all of us need to enter His gates with thanksgiving and stay there for a little while and praise Him in the courts and then be changed as we go out for the glory of God. As I mentioned, we've got a society that even in our world, I know they're putting up Christmas decorations already, but they were doing that in September. They hardly don't let us celebrate Thanksgiving, but we've got a society that sets aside a day for Thanksgiving. Well, let me tell us something. As Christians, we ought to lead the way in that, and we ought to be the ones that we set the standard. We ought to go forward and let the praise of the Lord always be on our lips. I'm not trying to preach down at you, but as I preach to myself and you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us sometimes we don't praise enough because we're complaining too much? Be that our children, our spouse, our job, our homes, our problems, or whatever it is, sometimes we can't get a praise the Lord out of our lips because we're too busy complaining about things. And just because you don't complain doesn't mean that takes that problem away. But my friend, we ought to get our vision set over to the things that the Lord has done. And that happens when we enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Stay there for a while and rehearse the goodness of God that He's allowed your life to experience, and I believe that you'll be changed. So to every Christian in this room today, I think I've given us the formula from the Scripture of how to have a happy Thanksgiving. It's going to take a little time. So you've got your assignment for tomorrow morning. You say, Pastor, my day's already busy. Well, start a little bit early or hang it on a little bit later or take your lunch hour, whatever you got to do, sometime. And Psalm 100 for it. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter as a conscious decision. Say, Lord, I'm coming in. And go into His courts with praise. You say, I don't always feel like praising the Lord. That's probably the time you need to do it anyways. I don't always feel like giving thanks. That's the time you need to look around and find something that you're thankful for. And then leave with that change. So to every believer in here, I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. If you're in this room today or listening, and you're not sure that you are saved, could I give you what the Scripture tells you if you want to have a happy Thanksgiving? The Bible says in Psalm 116, verse number 12, it says this, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" It asks the question in Psalm 116, verse number 12. And then, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? And then God answers the question for us. And if you're here today or listening and you're not sure that you're a believer in Christ, oh, I don't mean you don't believe in Him, but I mean you're not sure that He's your personal Savior. It answers the question in verse number 13 of Psalm 116. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. If you want to have a happy Thanksgiving, if you want to render unto the Lord something for all His benefits, I don't know how somebody in this nation, the poorest of the poor in our nation, couldn't say, oh, Lord, You've blessed us. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? God tells you, I will take the cup of salvation. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, but you look up to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm blessed. What shall I do for all Your blessings? God gives you the answer. You need to call upon His name for salvation. And if you've been wondering, worrying, fretting, and fuming about what's going to happen to me when I leave this world, my friend, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to call upon the name of the Lord, as Psalm 116 says in verse 13. And if you're here and you've been topsy-turvy on the inside, you've been worried and uncertain about, wow, the big things of life. My friend, the first step you need to take, the first item that you need to take care of is your eternal soul. And come to Jesus Christ. asking Him to be your Savior. And then you could have a happy Thanksgiving. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. And Lord, I pray for everybody listening and everybody in this room, everybody watching. Lord, if they're unsaved, I pray right now that you would show them, convict them, draw them. Show them they need to drink of the cup of salvation. They need to accept Christ as Savior. And my friend, if that's you that I just prayed for, and you're not sure that you're saved, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, Jesus promises, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm told that that shall is the strongest word that could be in the English language. Shall, without a doubt, definitely shall be saved. Would you call upon the Lord as your Savior? If you're here and you're not sure that Jesus is your Savior, but you know you want Him to be, would you call on Him right there where you sit? Just ask Him. You know who you are. We're all sinners. You know the penalty for sin, the Bible says, is all of us deserve a place in hell. How horrible. But that's where we deserve. But Jesus died so you wouldn't have to go there. And you need to sometime, my friend, and today is the day, you need to, by faith, call upon Him in your heart where you and God know what's going on. You need to ask Him to be your Savior. Would you do that this morning? And if you're here today and you're saved, but you've been ungrateful, not thankful like you should be, you've been the one that is complaining instead of praising, my friend, enter. Enter His gates, my friend, stay there for a while, and then leave blessing His name. And let's have a happy Thanksgiving. Would you stand together with me as the ladies play something through? If the Lord has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. Some of us, some of you are going to lead the way for your family, extended family that you'll meet with this week. You better be prayed up, ready. You want to be having a happy Thanksgiving before you ever get there to the house. If you're here this morning, you need to seek the Lord. Need to know how to have a happy Thanksgiving. Would you follow the Bible admonition and do that? Perhaps you're here today and you're not saved, though. Brother Daniel, standing right in front of the pulpit that I preach from, would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a lady, we'd have a lady just take some time with you and show you Scripture a little bit more elaborated form than what I just said, and that you need to believe on Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Maybe you have some other spiritual need, but you'd like Brother Daniel, assistant pastor, to help you with. He's right down here. Be glad to pray with you, help you in any way. Would you come? As they continue to play, and before we close, my friend, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, how could we have a happy Thanksgiving without knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior? Receive Christ today. Turn to Christ. If I had one message to give you and I knew my voice would never work again, I would tell you, trust Jesus. That's all that matters. And allow us to have a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. You may look this way. Well, I wanted to remind you about the midweek service being changed to Tuesday. But then this evening, we'll have Lord's Supper. We'll observe Lord's Supper tonight. Wonderful time. All of you are invited. We'll have that right here at 6:30 in the main service. We'll have a wonderful time together. The juice and the bread will be out in the lobby as you come in. And have a good time together. We invite you back for that and have a special time. And thank you for being patient with the video guys as they made their way around. We thank you for not minding them. And we're looking forward to some projects that we'll be able to put that video footage to use on. But we want you to know that if you aren't here Tuesday because you're already traveling, Amy and I will be praying for you. We'll be traveling as well. We'll go to Murfreesboro and spend some time with her dad and and the rest of her family. And let's pray one for another in that way because we certainly need to. So thank God for a chance to be in church. I'm going to ask Brother Josh Smith, if you don't mind, to come up to the pulpit and pray and dismiss us in prayer. Amy and I will slip back to the lobby. And we'll be back there. If there's anything that we can do for you, please don't hesitate to ask. We'll be there.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for another day to be in your house, God. Lord, may we be ever mindful, especially not this just this week, Lord, but every day, Lord, that we are such an ungrateful people. I have to say the message spoke to me this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be grateful each and every day for the small things and for the most precious gift of your Son, Lord. Help us to look to you. Lord, I pray you'd continue to bless the church, bless our pastor, bless those as we go and bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.